Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards, where today we're talking television with the critic for Canada's Globe and Mail, John Doyle, all the way from Toronto. We'll be discussing the Golden Globe nominations, taking a look at Star, a new Fox drama from the team behind Empire, plus a Canadian-made sci-fi series, appropriately enough for Netflix, called Travellers. All that ahead on the Monocle Arts Review. John Doyle in Toronto, welcome to the show today. Good to have you with us, as always. Let's kick off by talking a little bit about the Golden Globe nominations. Now, I suppose traditionally here, the choices made at the Globes, they're a little more daring, maybe a bit fresher than the Emmys. Can you usually tell the difference? And crucially, I suppose, can you this year?
Yes, you absolutely can. The Golden Globes, because it includes television, I think it's probably the most interesting award show of the award season. And in terms of its television picks and honorees, it tends to be more daring than the Emmy Awards. The Emmy Awards have improved over the last 2 years or so. But by tradition, the Emmys don't tend to reward new shows. It tends to be the same old staples, the same old people nominated year after year. The Golden Globes tends to indeed be more daring. The other side of that, I think some people, skeptics, might say that the Golden Globes is obsessed with shiny new things. Because they come in the middle of the TV season, they tend, I think, sometimes to over-reward shows that have just come on the air in the last few months and are getting a lot of attention. Some of these shows are not necessarily on long enough to need to be or to be rightly rewarded. So it's shiny new things. And this year there are some indeed. Westworld, the new HBO series, which I think is really just getting its feet, is up for a Golden Globe. Also, the NBC hit This Is Us, which is a very popular show, but I think amounts really to nothing at all.
Okay, well, let's delve a little deeper into some of those last remarks, because it is interesting, I guess, with any awards, and the Golden Globes is no different, there is always that assessment of, you know, what's warranted, what's a surprising inclusion, what's a surprising omission. I get a fair steer of where you stand on a couple of the more controversial ones there, John, but what jumps out at you, I guess, when we look in more detail?
Well, it was interesting that last year Mr. Robot was the winner and got a lot of attention from the Golden Globes. And this year it is not nominated for Best Drama or Best Series at all. It's as if it never had a second season. There are acting nominations in the Golden Globes for Mr. Robot, but it does seem odd that a show that got tremendous attention through the Golden Globes last year and later through the Emmys, it's almost disappeared, which suggests that while some of the picks from the Hollywood Foreign Press Association are interesting and are good for critically acclaimed shows, it becomes sort of rather fickle in terms of the kind of television that they honour.
Well, let's talk a bit more about stuff that maybe has chimed with the critics, or not with the critics, but yet gets recognition. One was HBO's Divorce, which is a show I've got to say I wasn't a fan at all, despite having high hopes. And many critics, it seems, agreed. And yet it's a bit of a dark horse at the Golden Globes. Is that just because Sarah Jessica Parker's involved? What do you make of that one?
Sarah Jessica Parker is a great favourite of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, and far be it from me to look askance at how these things actually get nominated, but
what can you possibly
she is a great favourite. One of the interesting picks, I think, is a nomination for the actor Riley Keough in the series called The Girlfriend Experience, which aired on the Starz channel in the States. A tremendous show, an extraordinary performance from a young actor in a very demanding role. The show is on the surface salacious in that it's about a young woman who's a law student who goes into the business of sex for transaction, for playing. She takes money for playing the girlfriend. and usually has sex with these older men. The upshot of the show, though, is that it is, in fact, there's something extremely creepy, almost repulsive about the show, and the way all of this allegedly salacious material is actually presented to us. I thought it was one of the best shows of the year, simply in style and content and seriousness, and a very demanding role for a young actor. And it's good to see an actor in a show like that get a nomination from the Golden Globes, because it didn't get a lot of attention anywhere else.
Exactly. And I suppose if young talent's recognised, however it happens, that's got to be a good thing, hasn't it, John? Let's move on and talk a little bit about upcoming Fox series Star, which, well, promises to follow in the footsteps of the acclaimed series Empire. Now, I guess it's understandable, given it's a sort of stablemate, that that's the ambition. Too lofty? Do you think it can succeed?
I think it can, yes. The pilot, which I've seen and which airs this week on Fox in the States as a sort of sneak preview, and then I think early January it will be on the regular Fox schedule. The pilot is a bit wobbly, but it has this tremendous propulsive energy to it. Lee Daniels, who created it and also created Empire, is a precocious talent. He was involved with the movies Monster's Ball, Precious, and The Butler. And with Empire, he did create something highly unusual, a drama that is part soap opera, but is also very much anchored in the hip-hop culture, in its use of race in the U.S. It's an acclaimed show, a huge hit in the States. Hasn't done that well internationally, because I think it is very much anchored in contemporary U.S. society, and it approaches the hip-hop music industry sort of from the corporate angle rather than the artist angle. In Star, it is from the performer, the artist angle. It is really, on paper, it's about the creation of an all-girl group, three of them who have incredible voices and are aiming for success and feel that they have their finger on the pulse of what young women want in seeing female performers these days. It's an odd show, but I think it is enough of a connection to the black music culture in the States, and it does touch on very touchy issues of race, that it's going to be one of those compelling shows that it could well take off like a rocket, as Empire did.
Well, let's have a little bit of a listen. Something of an oddity, as John describes it, but let's hear a little clip. Here's a little something from Star. Let's take a listen.
You can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon'
ever since Star was little, she believed her name was who she was.
The minute I heard that girl sing, it made me feel we got the makings of a supergroup.
Stay away from those girls.
And we'll rise up. I like the ways we'll rise.
This is your dream.
Babe, this is my dream for us.
We'll rise up and we'll do it.
Your mother and I had the same dream, and that dream killed her.
I'm nothing like her.
The sounds of Star. And John, I know you mentioned Lee Daniels already, but let's talk a bit more about him, because it's an interesting journey. A bit of a king of American TV, I guess, at the moment. And yet his journey is interesting, because he was something of, well, himself a bit of an oddity, a sort of alternative director, to become this big mainstream TV success. That's quite an unusual journey, isn't it?
It certainly is. And I think it's to the credit of the Fox network that they gave him the time, money and space to create Empire, and took a chance on it. At a time when there isn't mainstream television in the U.S. was not paying a lot of attention to this enormously powerful hip-hop culture, black music culture, and celebrity culture that is happening in the U.S. There has tended to be a wariness of bringing all of that center stage on network television. Fox gave him the opportunity, and Empire certainly paid off. Empire is very much a kind of grand guignol drama. It has tremendous performances in it. It is very well crafted, as a soap opera that gets you hooked from the beginning. Star, from the pilot, not all of the elements are there. Although Queen Latifah is in it, certainly in the first episode, she's wearing a very odd wig. There are a few little wobbly things like that in the pilot that I think need to be ironed out. But the music is tremendous. It's catchy, and the interaction between the dynamic between the three lead female characters is extremely interesting. And this is a show I think that could succeed enormously especially with a young audience in the States right now.
Well, people can judge for themselves. Star starts on the 4th of January 2017 on Fox, and we're racing, John, quickly towards the end of the show. But let's talk about, well, a Canadian-made series before you leave us, Travellers. This is about people from the future who assume the lives of random people from the past. It sounds a little tricky narratively. Explain more.
Well, we make a lot of television in Canada, and we are particularly good with the sci-fi genre. Tons of these kinds of shows are made, especially on the West Coast in Canada. Vancouver is a hotbed for the making of these shows, mainly for U.S. Channels. And Travelers is the latest. It comes from Brad Wright, who created the Stargate shows. Stargate 1, Stargate Atlantis, Stargate Universe, which are very much on the thoughtful side of science fiction. And Travelers, although it can be sort of synopsized as it's a time travel show, people from the future come to the present, which sounds rather trite. It isn't trite. It is a serious-minded show. At some point in hundreds of years in the future, Earth is facing a calamity. At this point, humankind has the ability to take over the mind, the sort of operating system of other human beings. So what they do is they come to people in very much in the present in 2016, and they take over the minds, the bodies of people who are themselves in a personal calamity. All of the so-called travelers are people who are about to die, or people who are in danger. Exactly why that is part of the plot is not clear until several episodes in. But what strikes me about the first few episodes is that it's not so much about the future. It's not so much about a fantasy show. It is very much anchored in the present. It is about the lives of these people, and it is about minds from the future attempting to understand what kind of people live now, what kind of dilemmas they have, and this strange social media-driven society that they live in. That's what makes the show interesting. Not the fantasy part, but the part that is anchored in this sort of rumination on the reality of our present time.
Let's hear a quick clip, John. We've got a little extract here. This is from Travellers. Let's take a listen.
In the future, we've developed the technology to project conscious mind into a host body.
You recognize Marcy has a significant intellectual disability.
Had.
In our time, many years from now, humanity's been all but wiped out. We've come back to change that.
It certainly sounds intriguing, John. Perhaps I can ask you, though, more broadly. You mentioned about a bit of a sci-fi scene and just generally the sort of Canadian TV scene at the moment. How's the market looking? I mean, if we look to 2017, is the future bright?
I would give a qualified maybe on that. As I said, we make a lot of television in Canada. It's a multi-billion dollar industry here. We don't, however, make a lot of great television. Something I have argued in my columns in the Globe and Mail is that we have yet to make a show in Canada that could be considered part of this golden age of television, a show that is admired and known around the world for its depth, its seriousness, its skill. We make a lot of good television. We sell many shows around the world. But we tend to go back to doing the same thing. One of the biggest hits on Canadian television, on our public broadcaster CBC, is Murdoch Mysteries, which is a very conventional sort of Edwardian era set in Toronto series about a police detective. And coming soon, there will be yet another version of Anne of Green Gables. And I think that sort of summarizes how we are sort of risk-averse in Canada. There are some shows, dramas in particular, coming in 2017 that I have high hopes for. So in terms of the greatness of Canadian television coming, it is very much fingers crossed.
We'll keep them crossed for you, John. I for one, am feeling pretty confident. Thanks, as always, for brightening up the scene for us, especially if it's a bit chilly over there. John, it's great to speak with you. As always, that's our good friend John Doyle on the line from Toronto. If you want to see Travellers, by the way, that's available on Netflix right now. This is the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to John. Thanks to our producer, Fernando Augusto Pacheco. Join us at the same time again tomorrow. We're talking books. But for now, goodbye from me and all the team, and thank you for listening.